Welcome back to Wellness Wednesday. My name is Beth Gustin, a licensed professional counselor here in Colorado, and I'm here with my co-host, Robin Ennis, a licensed clinical social worker, also here in Colorado. And today we are talking about the benefits of laughter. It really is good for your body and your soul.
It really is. And I'm glad that we're talking about this today. I think that with life being so serious, right, and a lot of stress involved, that it is really good to have a dose of laughter, like a dose of medicine. Laughter can help your immune system and your body in different ways. So I'm glad we're going to dive more into that.
Yes. And I always kind of joke around that if I can't make my clients laugh at least one time during a session, then I'm not doing my job. And that's just a personal thing I try and achieve for myself, because I feel like therapy can be really heavy sometimes and laughter is very healing. And if I can't, I can't. But, you know, that's just a personal weird goal I set for myself.
I don't think that's weird. I think that's a good goal to have. And actually, when I'm doing my consultation calls, I like to talk about my style. And I mentioned that I think that laughter and humor is a good part of my therapeutic modality. Because some people, it's not a good approach. They don't necessarily care for it. But the majority that I've had, it's been a good talking point and it breaks the heaviness a bit. So I definitely like that. And, you know, especially, you know, with April Fool's Day, this topic got me thinking more about that too.
You're right, though, because laughter doesn't work for everybody. And some people need a more serious approach, which is fine. And so, like you, I tend to give my clients a heads up that I have kind of a very odd, dry, and sometimes warped sense of humor. You know, do my best to, of course, keep it professional, obviously. Yeah, there's so many different types of therapists and styles, and there's so many different types of clients, and there's usually a good fit for everybody out there. Just keep looking.
Yep. In therapy, we're laughing with the client and not laughing at. And so that's two different things. Like in terms of humor, there's quite different. There's a stark difference between knowing your audience and laughing with them versus laughing at them. And I feel like laughing at them can be like a form of bullying, but that's not what we're going to talk about today.
And I'm really glad you brought that up as well, because yeah, we never laugh at, we always laugh with. And I don't typically bust out humor until I feel like I know the client relatively well. And until that point, I keep the humor more self-focused. Not like self-deprecating necessarily. I have a guide dog, and so he's in my sessions with me and my clients, and he tends to provide a bit of humor on his own. And so that can help. But yes, I think when we're discussing using humor in therapy, it is definitely more to break the ice. It's to ease tension. It is to help people feel more comfortable, hopefully. It is to help people realize that you can have moments of lightness in moments of darkness.
Yes. So Beth, I'm curious, because when you mentioned your dog, it made me think of mine. So can you give an example of how your dog has unintentionally been humorous in a session?
So I tend to set the stage at my consultation calls, and I will tell my clients that I've got an 80-pound black lab. I'm a therapist. My dog has no boundaries. And so he will greet you very overzealously. He's very affectionate. And then once you're done saying hello to him, he will go take a nap and he will not say goodbye to you at the end of our session. He'll just sleep right through it. And it's kind of funny because everyone's like, he's so rude. And I'm like, I know, but he gets all his wiggles out when someone walks in the room and then just passes out. So he might crack an eye open or wag a tail or something, but at the end of a session, but he does not get up and say goodbye. And a lot of my clients just find that kind of funny because he's so exuberant when they walk in.
Right. I like that. That's really funny. Like, okay. I've introduced myself. Now I'm just going to go take my morning nap or my evening nap.
Exactly. Yeah. Or he'll dream during sessions, start barking and twitching and, you know, doing the cute dream doggy sounds they make. And that usually makes people smile.
Very cute. Yeah. I like that. The benefits of humor is that it's oxytocin, right? It releases the love hormone, right? It makes us feel united with people around us. It makes us feel happy, right? And so Beth, it seems like that brings you and that client together in that space along with your dog, right? You have that shared experience of comedic relief in that moment.
Yes, it definitely boosts oxytocin and endorphins. It also reduces the stress hormones like cortisol and things like that. I always say it increases the good hormones and reduces the less helpful hormone levels.
Yes.
Not that we don't want to experience stress hormones. It's a whole different topic, though. We'll talk about that some other time. But it also actually helps boost your immune system and it reduces pain. It relaxes your muscles. There's a lot of benefits, physical benefits to laughter, along with just it makes you feel good, mentally speaking.
Right. Yep. That brain chemical endorphins, right? Like you mentioned, Beth, it lowers the stress and the pain in your body. I read an article too, where it said that when we're feeling anxious or scared, like how we have that fight or flight a response. And then when our body starts to relax, then we go into like a nervous laughter. And that's our way of trying to ease or cope that what we're feeling in that body, trying to release the chemicals to make us feel better. Like, and they use the analogy of riding a roller coaster, how like people will, even though they're scared, they'll laugh. And so that's our body's responses of trying to cope with that in the moment fear that we're feeling.
Absolutely. And I think laughter has just a lot of good benefits overall. And I like the roller coaster kind of analogy too, and how our bodies respond to things. I also think it's important to seek out laughter. So not a lot of us always have things to laugh about. Yeah, I can hear some of you saying, well, I don't know, like nothing's funny, nothing's good. And so I think it's important to be intentional about seeking out moments where you can laugh. So whether it's listening to, you know, I happen to like Dr. Demento. I guess his birthday was a couple days ago. If you don't know who that is, he had a syndicated radio show where he played song parodies and just funny songs from the 40s and 50s. I think he went off the air in like the early 90s. I'm dating myself here, I know. But his show is still online and I like his stuff. It's just funny, silly funny. Or maybe you like watching stand-up comedians on Netflix or comedy skits on YouTube, or you read humorous literature, but it's finding what makes you laugh and seeking out ways to bring that into your life.
Exactly. I like watching little short videos, although it's made it in the news a lot lately within the past couple of years. I find humorous videos on TikTok, the little short ones there. They have this really funny, I don't know what breed he is, but he likes like just randomly being obnoxious. So the owner will upload videos in regards to that. And so I like pet videos. Those tend to make me smile. So think about what can make you smile. Even if you're not feeling in the laughter mood, it can kind of help at least lift your spirit a little bit. You know, even if it's not a lot, it's worth a try. It's worth adding to your toolbox.
Absolutely. I recently ran across a video and I can't remember a ton about it, but it was the benefits of getting a guide cat. So if you don't want a guide dog, you should get a guide cat. And it was all done, you know, tongue-in-cheek humor and basing on cats' personalities. So if you don't want to talk to anyone, oh, good, get a guide cat because they won't let you approach anybody. They don't want to talk to people. So
I like that.
It was cute. Made me laugh.
I have not heard of that. That's funny. I definitely like that.
If I can find it, I will send it your way.
Okay. When I was also, too, looking through the articles they had mentioned, like we had already talked about, is, you know, it's a difference between when somebody is laughing at you versus with you. And so if you are going to evoke humor when it comes to other people, because this particular article, and it was actually published by the Cleveland Clinic, and they were talking about practical jokes. And so really knowing your audience and having that level of empathy and knowing what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and crossing boundaries and all of that. So being the recipient of jokes can be good. And then also too, you know, giving practical jokes can be funny. But if it's, again, in a way that is respectful of the other person and you know that they won't mind it. And it made me think of a former employer where we would play practical jokes in our department and somebody put some slimy putty in front of my keyboard and I put my hand in it and I didn't know what it was. And then I finally figured out what it was. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to get her back. And so if somebody took a picture of my ear and we put pictures of my ear all in her office in random spots and even in her phone case, and she was finding ears for months. So things like that can be funny and it can bring people together because it's still, even though that was a handful of years ago, it's still one of the funniest moments that we still talk about.
That's funny.
It is. And so the significance of my ear was that I'm always listening wherever she is. I'm always there. So, all right. So we talked about the benefits of laughter. How about you try to think about within the upcoming days, weeks, or months, you can incorporate laughter into your life and whether or not it's something that you want to add to your toolbox. It definitely is, you know, worth trying. And as we talked about today, there's a lot of health benefits associated with it.
I've even done something as simple as Googling, you know, one-liner dad jokes, because those make me go, oh, geez, you know, and so it does get me to laugh.
Yes.
And so, you know, be creative with where you look for laughter.
Yes. I'm glad you said that. Yes, be creative. That is the key. As always, if you have any topics or comments, feel free to reach out to us. And we did receive a comment from an individual about pertaining to identity, you know, how we show up in spaces and what we tend to think about or how we interpret people's actions around us and how that makes us feel. That's a really great topic. And so we're going to create a whole nother podcast segment off of that. So to the listener, thank you for sending it in. Yeah, we're going to address it in one of the upcoming podcasts.
Yes. To that listener, I appreciate your vulnerability and your honesty. I think it takes a lot of courage to give feedback. And we really appreciate that. And like Robin said, it actually brought up a really good podcast topic. So thank you for that. And we will definitely be discussing that more in depth, our identity and perception and how we show up, how we would like to be perceived versus maybe how we are perceived. There's a lot of directions we can go with that. So thank you again. And we will cover that in a future episode.
Until next time, take care, everyone.
Take care and stay grounded. Oh, yeah.
More podcasts with the Blindest Perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to leave us some feedback, give us a call at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Simon Bonifant. Have you ever heard the phrase, you learn something new every day? Well, with my guest today, you can literally learn something new every day for a good number of years. What am I talking about exactly? I'm talking about Described and Captioned Media, a fully inclusive online learning platform providing a catalog of over 13,000 audio described, captioned, and ASL interpreted content. To tell us all about it, I sat down with DCMP's Director of Communication and Marketing, Cindy Camp. Cindy discusses the history of the organization, her role, and most importantly, how you can sign up today. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Cindy Camp from Described and Captioned Media. Hello, everyone, and welcome. We have a great podcast lined up for you today. I'm Simon Bonifant, and in the virtual studio with me is Cindy Camp. And she is the communications and marketing director at Described and Captioned Media. How you doing, Cindy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So for those who are unfamiliar, what is Described and Captioned Media?
So we are a federally funded project, which means we offer a free service. We have an online video library of over 13,000 educational videos that are captioned, audio described, and we're now adding American Sign Language to them. So we're making educational videos accessible to students with disabilities.
Wow, that's terrific. How long has your company been in business?
Actually, we've been under several different names, but we started back in the 1950s.
Wow, that's terrific. What kind of videos do you have on your website? Can you give us a little overview of what some of the topics that you cover?
Sure. Basically, we cover all of the academics, math, science, history, language arts for preschool through high school levels. But we also have videos for teachers and families as well. We have videos to teach general education teachers how to work better with students with various disabilities. We have videos on orientation and mobility. We have videos for families to learn about the IEP process. And then we have more videos for students to learn about self-advocacy. Anything that you would want to teach a student about, we're going to have an accessible video on that topic.
Okay, great. And who is the person that makes these videos? I'm assuming that there's multiple people involved in getting the information and actually producing this content.
You're correct. We actually work with the producers of children's programming. So there are names that you're already familiar with, PBS Learn, NASA. We even work with some of the popular YouTube educational channels. We have things like Bill Nye the Science Guy, The Magic School Bus, and we're also adding in some fun educational videos like Alma's Way, and from Fred Rogers Productions, we have Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. So lots of videos for the younger students, but then also for the older ones as well. Some fun titles that you might be familiar with. Basically, things teachers are already using in the classroom, you're going to be familiar with. The Time Compass, America, The Story of Us. So very popular educational titles.
Oh, so you've taken that information that's been already produced and then made adjustments to make it accessible.
Correct. We negotiate with those producers. We add those accessibility features. They get back the accessible copy, and then we get a copy that goes onto our video library, and then those who are sign up for our service get access to all of that for free.
Wow, that's terrific. When your company was started, Described and Captioned Media, what was the process for getting this company started? What was the need that was at the time, and how has it evolved as the years have gone on?
Sure. So we started out when videos were not captioned, and it was privately funded because the deaf community didn't have access to popular entertainment videos. And it emerged over the years, and finally it became federally funded and morphed into educational videos, because now Hollywood does make most videos accessible through captions and audio descriptions. But still, educational video producers don't always see the benefit of adding accessibility. So that's where the federal government came in, and we're funded under IDEA. So we negotiate with all of those producers. We add the captions, the audio description, and now we're adding American Sign Language for those students whose first language is sign language, and maybe they don't read on grade level. And we make all of those videos accessible.
That's great. Can you describe the process for how people would sign up for this free program? Is there some requirements for eligibility?
You would just go to our website. There's a button there that says sign up for an account, and you would fill out a short application. We do have real people who review all of these, so allow us 1 to 2 business days to review it. We would send back and ask that you verify your email. So if you don't see an email from us, make sure that you check your spam filter or your junk folder. And to qualify, you just need to be a professional working with a student with a disability that is birth through high school age, or the family member of one of these students. And that does include students who are in that extended high school program, whatever that age limit is in your state. Sometimes it goes up to 21, or in some states, I think all the way to 26.
Wow, that's terrific. Well, the work that you're doing is so great, and really giving all students equal access. You know, as you mentioned, the videos that you have were things that are already produced and out there for everyone. And now you're just going the extra level and making that accessible for all. So that's really a great mission that you're working with. How did you come into Described and Captioned Media?
I actually started out as an interpreter for the deaf, and I came into working with DCMP back when they were just doing captions. And at that time, they were working with doing some higher level videos, and I came on as a side contractor and really became immersed in captions and making sure that the quality was very high, because a lot of people have seen the YouTube automatic captions, and it's great that they're trying to get accessibility out there. The AI captions just aren't providing the quality that students need. And so that's where my passion came in. And then about 7 years ago, I had a change in my work circumstance, and I was hired full time with DCMP. And in 2006, the funding changed a little bit, and that's where they added in the audio description for the blind. So it went from just captions to doing captions and audio description. And since then, I have learned so much about working with the blind low vision community as well. And I've seen the program expand tremendously. And while COVID and the schools being closed down for a little while was detrimental in many respects, it really helped our program expand because DCMP was a great resource because we already had so many online resources for teachers and families. And I think that helped get the word out about us. And so now people know we're there and they're using us a lot more.
Yeah, I'm sure throughout COVID, it was definitely a blessing to have that. And I know from my talk to teachers and things like that, that people were kind of scrambling for resources. And here you had a wealth of knowledge already there. You're already ahead of the game there. Oh, very nice. For folks that are listening, that are content creators that are not disabled, but would like to make their work inclusive and accessible for all audiences, what are some tips or advice that you can give to folks?
Yeah, we actually have two documents on our website that anyone can access called the captioning key and the description key. And both of those go into detail about how to add captions and audio description to your video materials and make them really accessible. Also, we add about 300 to 500 hours of new content to our website every year. So if someone is out there producing material that would be applicable to students in the K-12 system, feel free to contact us because we do work with independent producers. And it may be that what you're producing would be appropriate for our clients and we could work with you and maybe get your videos added to our website, which means we can help you with adding that accessibility.
Okay, great. Can you give the contact information?
Sure. Feel free to contact me directly. My email is ccamp@dcmp.org. Our website is www.dcmp.org. And all of our contact information is listed there as well.
Well, Cindy, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and give your great information to our listeners. It's been very nice having you on, and I thank you again for taking your time.
Thank you very much for having me on and helping us get the word out about this great free resource.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're doing a lot of great work, so keep up the great work there.
Thank you.
Such a wonderful time speaking with Cindy about this incredible free program. If you missed any of those resources Cindy mentioned, don't forget to visit the show notes where you can find all the info you need. I'd like to thank Cindy for taking the time to share her knowledge with us today, and I'd like to thank you for listening. If you would like to contact me directly, you can do so by sending me an email. I can be reached at sbonenfant2@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, and download the free Blind Abilities app from the App Store and Google Play Store. That's two words, Blind Abilities. And if you want to leave some feedback, give us some suggestions, give us a call at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank you for listening. And until next time, bye-bye.
When we share
what we see through
each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations
and the realities
of blind abilities.
And the realities of blind abilities.